RadioInfluence.com.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Friday edition of the Dark to Light podcast with...
Barely Made It Out Alive, Val, and...
Beans? Why not? What do you mean?
Oh, that the...
The floods?
The Pompeii moment we had over here.
What happened? I mean, I know a lot of people sadly passed away. What?
Yeah, dozens of people are dead. It just, I don't know, man. I heard that we had rain in the forecast. And I figured, because this is the way it always happens, whenever a hurricane or something comes up through the south, the Gulf, or many times on the East Coast, you know, just kind of bumping along the East Coast, by the time it gets to New York, we'll get the bands of what was... once a very vicious storm. Still might douse us with some rain, a little bit of light flooding. You got to make sure you keep an eye on your basement. But what happened was really just, I don't know. It's inexplicable how fast it came and how overwhelming it was and how violent it was. And this thing traveled across hundreds of miles of land.
Yeah, it was. That's weird. That's very,
very weird. It, especially those storms that come up through the Gulf. That for New Yorkers, for the people us in the Northeast.
Yeah.
That means a couple of days of moderate rain, because it's already been destroyed by having to make travel over all of land that is in its way. This was unbelievable.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Category 1 hurricanes have done less to us.
Yeah, I know. It's very weird. I know. And, you know, Long Island was basically spared from what I could see. But it was really the city in upstate New York, like in your area, which is really technically not upstate. But everybody was asking, by the way, if you made it out okay.
My little basement area down here, I was in here until about 1 a.m., just moving the pump around, sweeping water into the pumps.
Oh, you
just
did so that flood down there.
It wasn't bad, though, because I caught it when there was only just about an inch on the ground. So I got in here, and I just worked throughout the night, and I made sure everything was fine. Around 1, I was able to leave here comfortably knowing the rest is going to dry out. I had the dehumidifier going, and that everything's fine.
Watch for mold.
Yeah, I do. I do. But I've kept it very, very dry down here. So... there's that. But my grandmother's house got a little over 7 feet.
Whoa.
7 feet. And it's still pumping out right now. We have a couple of pumps that are working there in her basement. I went over that last night on my show, because we have a history of horrible floods over there. And it caved in her garage door, broke the garage door in, rushed in, and it's unbelievable. The water line was about a foot above the washer and dryer.
Holy crap.
And the laundry room is about 4 steps above this lower basement. So for the water line to be up there means the basement had to have been filled first.
Jesus.
And so that's where I estimate. Well, yeah, but she's upstairs. So we got over there. And her aide told us that there's a lot going wrong. So when we got over there, we've separated her from the rest of the house. You know, that door going downstairs is closed. We put the towels underneath just so, because we're worried about air quality for now, because all of the companies around here that come in and do the cleanups, take care of air quality, the antimicrobial stuff, the dehumidifying, everything. Obviously, they are backed up. We have a friend that's going to bump us up along the line somewhere with priority. But in the meantime, we have to just try to get as much as we can of this 6 feet that we're still down there out. So I have to go there around 3 today, because we're throwing everything in the garage out. And but Tracy, around here, I got to show you pictures of cars that are stacked on top of each other.
Wow.
Because they were picked up and one was shoved under the other. My buddy Rob, his mother's apartment completely destroyed. Many are like that. I was listening to the police radio all night. The police were panicked. They couldn't get to anybody. EMS could not get from one side of the town to the other. The Playland Parkway.
Where is the water coming from? The ocean? Where?
I don't know. I guess the surges that it came through. We have several streams and brooks and one or two. Well, we have the Byram River. So I guess that helped out a little bit, but it was coming up. If you see a lot of this stuff, especially in the boroughs, it was coming up through the toilets. It was just so back. The water levels in 3.5 hours in my little town, the water level, we were doused with 10 inches of rain. That's 10 inches in about 3.5 hours.
Yeah.
The water was just coming from everywhere. It's that is so out of the ordinary. I call it. It was like Pompeii.
I had the 100-year flood here when we first moved here, and I was kayaking down my street. The water was up to the mailboxes because of something similar. It was like nothing, you know, it happens like once every 100 years here, they say. Like the rivers just get completely overwhelmed. The intercoastal pushes in and people were just everywhere. We're just underwater everywhere. Insane.
You say the 100-year storm, they said that this is the most amount of water that we've been deluged with in 200 years.
Shit.
They said 200. I don't know if that is a wrong estimate or an exaggeration, but as this was going on, you know, me and Lauren are looking out the window and we're starting to realize, okay, this is not just a little bit of rain. This is not the remnants of something. This has a life of its own. And I said to her, I said, and we want to move to South Carolina?
We're more tooled for that crap here. It's
nobody could be tooled for this.
We've gotten 10 inches of rain in an hour, like before, many times here. I think that anywhere that gets 30 inches of rain in 3 hours would have a problem. You know what I mean? It's not like it's unique to any area. That's not something that I would even consider when thinking about moving somewhere. It's just not
normal. And it's taken so much attention away from New Orleans.
Yeah.
Because obviously they got hit first and hardest when it was still properly categorized as a hurricane. But because of what happened in the Northeast being so anomalous, somebody described it or explained it by saying that, yeah, it came up through all that dry land. And then it met up and it paired with a storm system that was hanging out off the coast of New York or something. And it supercharged it. Like what? And you didn't see that coming? This whole thing? This is all just spontaneous, and it's exactly what it was.
I still get the alerts from Chad Lupinacci out in Suffolk County because they still have my number in their little database, I guess. So I got an alert, not yesterday, but the day before about this. It was like, you know, 3 minutes long about all the things you should do to prepare and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, holy crap, they're actually getting like horrible flood issues there. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Wow. When I talked to you yesterday, you didn't even mention it.
Yeah. Well, I was when we spoke yesterday, it was in this 2.5 hour window of time that I had made for myself to throw a show together because I was at my grandmother's house from earlier on in the morning until about 2 p.m. or something like that. And I had to throw a show together because I was going to go back there around 4:30 to check up on where, because it gets to a point where you can't really do anything. You're just standing there watching pumps work. So I went back there around 4:30 right before I went to the studio and just to see how everything was. And now I have to go there at 3:15 to help bring everything that was in the garage out to the pickup zone on the street. But people lost their lives. The people who were caught in their car, we had two younger people caught in a car together. One drowned, found in the car. The other one has not been recovered yet. And there's stories, horrible stories from the city of mothers and toddlers drowning together.
God.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah. Will was telling me yesterday that he saw 12 people had died. It reminded me of Sandy when I had a good friend on Staten Island who was in that flood zone that they've now kind of made. You can't build here anymore. And they bought everybody out.
Yeah.
Their neighbors were in the basement trying to get stuff out and died and drowned in their basement during Sandy because of the way the water came in. So many stories like that from then. But that you could kind of understand with the storm surge, the way they had predicted it. This is like completely out of left field. Like people were just like, what the hell? Like,
Oh, and you wonder, you wonder too about, like, let me see if I can pull this up here. It's this insider paper account that I was following, and I was getting all of these, yeah. Okay, I'm going to show you something. Here is just from New York City. This is from the, this is 28th Street, and I'm going to send it to you on the Skype here.
Okay.
Take a look at that. Now you wonder, okay, well, how the hell can people get caught in their own basements, drown inside of, you know, their own place? Well, if water is rushing in like that.
Oh my God.
How do you overcome this? It looks like a scene from the Poseidon Adventure.
Holy moly.
How does a 2-year-old overcome a force like that?
So water, just for, I'll put this in the show notes for everybody who doesn't.
And when you go into the show notes and you click on this, go throughout the rest of the timeline of that account on Twitter from Insider Paper. You can see everything, all the footage from inside of these apartment buildings in Brooklyn, how these SUVs are just bobbing like corks in the water. It's insane. Coming up through the toilets.
Wow. I see a house exploding in Rahway. Wow.
And it wasn't just New York, obviously. Philadelphia got battered. I saw the roads that were just deteriorating, falling away, sinkholes forming in Rhode Island. It really came in hard.
That's really crazy. Oh, it's a shame. I'll share this. Wow, this is bad. Philly got bad. Wow, this account is crazy. Woodside, Queens has an apartment building that's flooded all the way up to people's thighs. And it's not clean water, guys. Like, here, no. I see it coming up out of the toilets here in Brooklyn. Holy moly. Wow.
Yeah. Because it just has nowhere to go.
Yeah, no. I mean, bus filled with flood water with passengers standing over the seats. Oh, my gosh. I wish we could show people this. You guys have to go and look at this. This is crazy.
Yeah, I put a lot of these clips on my show last night. We did a roundup, but I did not take nearly all of the clips that are on this timeline. So
then I'm looking at this New Yorker floating around on a pool float through the
with a hookah.
Yeah.
Several people tagged me in that and they said, Frank, is this you?
Oh, my gosh.
I said, no, it's not me. But I will tell you something. He sacrificed himself for the meme. But
yeah.
When I said, but Tracy, you know, you know, New York.
I do.
Would you ever float in water?
Hell no. This is
that has
filthy,
washed through those alleyways.
Filthy, disgusting water here. Filthy,
whatever he's
disgusting.
Whatever he is incubating inside of him is far more deadly than COVID.
Well, speaking of COVID, I was going to say we're going to have a little bit of a shorter show today. I'm just not able to really concentrate, but I wanted to get personal and share some information that might help other people, shall we?
Okay.
So my son tested positive for COVID yesterday morning. He was fine on Wednesday night, woke up Thursday. I came out of my room. He was laying on the couch and he said he was achy, but he thought it was from gym because they really worked him in gym and he had a headache. And I said, no. That's not how this works, William. And I felt his head. He felt real warm. So I took a rapid antigen test and sure enough, it's positive. So immediately I start freaking out because who wants COVID in their house? Not me. That's for damn sure. And so I jumped into protocol mode. You know, we have our COVID bag that we've talked about here forever and ever and ever. So Will and I both took a prophylactic dose of our medicine, which I won't name so that we don't get tarred and feathered in the streets. But it starts with an I. I guess that's good enough. And I got William on his vitamin D, his vitamin C upgrade, gave him some zinc. Talked to a doctor who said that he should really only be fever the way he had it for a day. And that if it's not better by today, that I should start him on another medicine that I happen to have as well. That starts with an H. yesterday was rough with him. He started out the day, he was playing with his friends all day on the computer. Obviously, he's quarantined and can't go to school. But, you know, throughout the day, he kind of got a little bit worse. They gave him some Motrin to take care of his headache. And then I gave him Tylenol in the afternoon, which did absolutely nothing for him at all. And then the nighttime came and I gave him some melatonin. I gave him some, you know, his third dose of zinc because I split it into three to stop his stomach from hurting him. I gave him another vitamin C, 1500 milligrams of vitamin C for him for the day. And then I gave him the melatonin. He went to sleep at around 8 o'clock. He woke up at 2 in the morning, high fever. The highest his fever got was 102.7, which for him is okay because he, whenever he gets sick, gets high fevers. It's just the way his body is. So I said, all right, you know, he wanted to take a shower. I said, take a nice cool shower. I'll give you some more Motrin. And I gave him another 1 milligram melatonin and he went to sleep. And he woke, you okay? Baby, I hear baby.
Oh yeah, I do. I hear her too. Lauren must have brought her outside. Okay, keep going. Sorry.
It's okay. He woke up at 2, did all that, gave him another milligram of melatonin. This morning I walked into his room, 7 in the morning. He pops up. Mom, I don't feel like I have COVID anymore, but I know I have COVID. So today his temperature is at 99 when he first woke up in the morning, which is not technically considered a temperature. And he is, you know, he's got some congestion today, but he's doing his nasal spray. He's doing his gargle. He's got his vitamins and he's feeling a lot better today. He's got a little stuffy nose, but other than that, he said he feels good.
I'm happy to hear this.
Yeah. And now it's just, you know, I'm constantly, Will, my husband is not anywhere near him. He's kind of quarantined in his room. I'm the caregiver. And I'm running around disinfecting doorknobs and, you know, trying to keep the countertops clean and, you know, germs away, washing my hands constantly. We're all doing our prophylactic stuff. Viviana's vitamins are dosed up high the way they should be in this case. She's in her room. And here's the crazy thing, Frank. This is nuts to me. I gave him the rapid antigen test. It gives you a report. The school won't accept that. So now, today, I have to take him out to an appointment to get a COVID test for him, right? Which means that now I have to sit in a car with him for an hour and get him COVID tested so that I can give it to the school so that they can start their contact tracing and quarantine procedures for someone with COVID in school. By the time I get the results back from this test, it's going to be Sunday or Monday, right? What is the point at that point? You've missed 5 days of people who, if you're trying to stop this from spreading, you miss 5 days of people who could be symptomatic and not know that, you know what I mean? It's just, yeah. It makes no sense. So now he is quarantined for 10 days. He can't go back to school until the 13th or the 14th. I don't remember what day it is. Viviana, Helga, she can't go back until 14 days after his 10 days. So she needs 2 weeks of quarantine after his last day of quarantine to make sure she doesn't get it after his last day of quarantining from it. So she can't go back to school till September 27th. But William can go back 2 weeks earlier.
Jeez.
So she's doing virtual learning now. He's in his room doing virtual learning now. Also playing video games with his friends who are home quarantined because half the school is in quarantine because anybody who's within a fraction of a second of somebody who may have been around someone else, who is tested positive for COVID is home. And I'm not going to lie. There's like 17 kids at his school that have it. But I mean, there's 1% of the 45,000 kids in our school district who have COVID right now, 1%. And about, I would say almost there's like almost 10,000 kids in quarantine for like 500 kids who have it.
Now, the Regeneron.
Yeah.
That's something that you have to go get administered through IV.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So.
And it's not necessary, not exactly necessary, but it's good to do if you can.
Well, look, I've researched it quite a bit and it works. I know from firsthand experience it works because I know probably 15 people now who have gotten it. And
as prophylactic effort or in the middle?
In the middle. So They were basically 7 days into illness when they got it. Everybody that I know, 7 days in to illness, got the Regeneron, which if you look up on the internet, you're going to find this treatment for cancer because they do use it to treat cancer. These antibody treatments, it's completely different because these antibodies are designed specifically for COVID. So it's not the same side effect profile. It doesn't really attack your own cells the way that Regeneron or an antibody treatment would in cancer. It's different. It goes after the spike protein in the Regeneron. But in cancer, it goes after your own cells. So it's just a different side effect profile. But what I found from the little information that is available, because it is relatively new, is that there's really very low risk of any side effect with this. And it you know, it basically in 48 hours, people are on the mend and getting better. So the first day you get it, the day after, you don't really feel much of anything. But the third day, the 48 hours later, is when you really start to feel better.
Well, I did a lot of this last night, and I called you about the I word and everything else because of the Joe Rogan controversy.
Yeah.
He came out and said, I got COVID and I kicked it in 3 days and this is how I did it. And he went through, not only did he do the monoclonal antibody infusions, he did IV vitamins, ivermectin, and a few other things.
Yeah, he got IVs of, you know, different vitamins, zinc, C, stuff like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, what I see the argument you're talking about, because you told me yesterday, you said people are arguing about ivermectin. All these reports are coming out about people dying from overdoses. It's all bullshit. Let me tell you.
Now, it's the same thing that was going on with the hydroxychloroquine and calling it fish tank cleaner.
Yep.
They are intentionally obtuse about what is happening. They are intentionally dismissive about the fact that ivermectin. And I sent you that article because I started looking around for people that had reported on it prior to the entire COVID campaign that has been going on since early 2020. And I found one article written in a medical journal in Spain from 2019 talking about how outside of aspirin,
penicillin
and ivermectin was almost like one of the single greatest gifts to humanity since it was discovered in the 70s. Yes, it was found to treat veterinary problems, especially with worms and all that stuff, but it was approved for human use in 1987. So you're talking about over 30 years of experience with this in human beings, and it has found itself to be so much more versatile outside of the treatment of parasitic, infestation or whatever the hell it is. But when you watch the mainstream media cover it, of course, it's always everybody, please stop eating horse paste.
I know.
Why is everybody looking for horse paste? I mean, come on, everybody. So it's
anything that comes out that could be potentially helpful. Look, the whole Japan is starting to treat everybody with ivermectin. I can tell you right now, I can almost guarantee after all the studies I've read, another thing came out today, basically, you know, explaining all of these other studies that have been done. If we started using ivermectin in the United States en masse, we would probably wipe this pandemic out in 2 months. 2 months. But we can't have well people running around, Frank. We can't have the fear gone, right? I mean,
I don't even know. Fear is definitely useful for some people. And then on the other hand, it's a pride thing for those who believe that they have something. I just don't know.
They just want people vaccinated over and over and over and over again.
Well, yeah, there are those among us. I guess they say that they had to get the shot I know that a lot of people felt the pressure for one reason or another and aren't exactly all on board. They've been skeptical. And even those there are many people out there who just went and did it on their doctor's advice, didn't make a big deal about it. And they are not in favor of the kind of tyranny that is going on being pressed onto those who didn't. So I really try to always put that disclaimer in there when we go after what's been happening here. But there is a certain group. There's a majority of people who believe that what they have done is such a virtuous act, and they are so enamored with themselves for being this test subject in a rushed release of an experimental technology that it would actually hurt their pride if in some way they discover that there are cheap, effective, time-tested therapies already available that they could have rested easy knowing existed if only they were allowed to know about it.
Yeah.
You know, you sent me and I've been disseminating that the website, that wonderful COVID-19 website with all of the frontline doctors that have compiled the work on stuff like ivermectin. And it had said how the NIH or FDA, they have not approved ivermectin for whatever yet, but they did change it to their stance being from against it to being neutral. And they could afford to be neutral about ivermectin officially because the media is the one out there making the discouraging horse medicine jokes. Yeah. You know, it's the same tag teaming that went on with hydroxychloroquine. It's the same kind of obtuse mind games that were played when the president spoke about UV lights therapy, which is a real technology. They made jokes about bleach and flashlights. They're gaslighting intentionally, constantly. And
Hold on one second.
Yeah. Moital Beach.
I got a phone call I thought I needed to take right away, but it was nothing. Sorry about that.
It's all right.
But yeah, they're being gaslit. Like, I mean, I can't believe how some of these people, like yesterday, Frank, I didn't mean to interrupt you. That was horrible. I got this article sent to me by a friend. Let's see here. AMA, APHA, ASHP call for immediate end to prescribing, dispensing, and use of ivermectin to prevent or treat COVID-19 outside clinical trials. The American Medical Association, American Pharmacists Association, and American Society of Health System Pharmacists strongly oppose the ordering, prescribing, or dispensing of ivermectin to prevent or treat COVID-19 outside of a clinical trial. It is approved by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration for human use to treat infections caused by internal and external parasites. It is not approved to prevent or treat COVID. Ivermectin is also available to treat certain veterinary conditions. Medicines formulated or intended for use in animals should not be used by humans. We are alarmed by reports that outpatient prescribing for and dispensing of ivermectin have increased 24-fold since before the pandemic and increased exponentially over the past few months. Because it works, you douchebags! Anyway, in addition, we're urging physicians... Oh, as such, we're calling for an immediate end to the prescribing, dispensing, and use of ivermectin for the prevention and treatment of COVID-19 outside of a clinical trial. In addition, we're urging physicians, pharmacists, and other prescribers, trusted healthcare professionals in their communities, to warn patients against the use of ivermectin outside of FDA-approved indications and guidance, whether intended for use in humans or animals, as well as purchasing ivermectin from online stores. Veterinary,
And here's the thing. When I was looking into this and all the stuff that you had sent me there too, the other thing that people rave about with ivermectin in the 40 years that it has been on the radar and hailed as a miracle drug in so many ways is how incredibly safe it is for people.
Very safe.
So even if people, if it's something that has maybe a placebo effect or a neutral effect, to build this as something that is dangerous, number one, is ridiculous. And number two, outside of clinical trials, it is familiar with the medical community for over 40 years, for about 30 years in humans, over 30 years in human use, and about 40 years otherwise, a little bit over 40. So for them to have the nerve to say outside of clinical trials, as if they give a shit about clinical trials.
Yeah, I know. I mean,
because they're running one right now on the public.
I mean,
they didn't even have time for theirs.
They're warning against the use of ivermectin, which has a 40-year safety profile, probably around the same par, if not better, than Tylenol, while they're injecting people with an experimental gene therapy. It's just so ass backwards. It annoys the crap out of me. Here, let me read this. What? Go ahead.
Well, and what you were reading right now reflects something else. The other reason why the NIH and the FDA can remain neutral on this and allow all of their minions to go out and do the discouraging for them, because I guess that doctors can say it was within my estimation. I would not prescribe this. I'm just from my own standpoint, whatever. But it doesn't help that so many doctors refuse to prescribe ivermectin because of this kind of messaging here, which has been approved for multiple uses in humans for over 30 years now. So naturally, when people go out to a horse feed store and buy apple flavored horse paste, it creates a feeding frenzy for the assholes like Jake Tapper.
Yes, because they can't get it anywhere else.
Exactly.
And they know it'll help them. I know. Use of ivermectin for the prevention and treatment of COVID-19 has been demonstrated to be harmful to patients. Calls to poison control centers due to ivermectin ingestion have increased fivefold from their pre-pandemic baseline. A recent CDC Health Alert Network advisory recommends that healthcare professionals should counsel patients against the use of ivermectin as a treatment for COVID, including emphasizing the potentially toxic effects of this drug, including nausea, vomiting, and diarrhea. Overdoses, hold on, I lost my place. Overdoses are associated with hypertension and neurologic effects such as decreased consciousness, confusion, hallucinations, seizures, coma, and death. I got to tell you something. I took it yesterday. Will took it yesterday. Will had no problem whatsoever. I experienced some side effects from it. I got a little dizzy and I had some belly issues. I did. I'm not sure at this point if the belly issues came from the zinc that I loaded my body with or it was the ivermectin that did it. I don't know. But I did feel weird, not horrible, just a little off for about 2 hours after I took it. 100% common on the side effect profile. If there was nothing outside, you know, if people get side effects from it, here's what they would likely be, right? After that, I was fine. I slept for a couple hours. I was fine. Absolutely fine. I would do it again. I would take it again in 48 hours like I'm supposed to. Because it was that negligible to me versus having COVID that I would take it again. And I'm just like,
what I want to know is I want someone to finally come out and articulate for me is because I believe it. I know what I've heard from people who are confirmed to have been sick and they went and they used this in conjunction with vitamin therapies and everything else and coming out fine. And of course, it always fits the profile of what kind of a health demographic are people falling into. Are you morbidly obese? Do you have 2 to 3 existing chronic health issues and comorbidities? You know, we are always sidestepping the greater health problems that we have in this country prior to any kind of a epidemic or pandemic or anything like that. So my whole thing here is I want somebody to actually articulate whereas everything has multiple uses and we discover this over time and sometimes you stumble upon it and other times there are working theories as to why this is happening. I want to know what it is about ivermectin that is actually inhibiting the spread of this or being able to treat it in the middle of it that is that might have been otherwise unforeseeable a couple of years ago when it was primarily being used to be able to treat parasites.
I have an article that I can send to you that explains the mechanism of action. It works differently than hydroxychloroquine does. It works in a different way. Hydroxychloroquine basically opens up your cell to intake zinc, and zinc is what kills the virus in the use of hydroxychloroquine, right? The hydroxychloroquine works in quite the same way as quercetin does, but quercetin is obviously natural, so it works to a lesser extent than a pharmaceutical. And I went through reading the safety profile on HCQ yesterday, all 70-something pages of all the other off-label uses that it's used for.
My God, I can't think. The way that you read, oh my God, all the books that I can get done in a week.
I read really fast.
Jeez.
I
have a library. I have a library of books that I want so badly to absorb.
I don't know what it is.
70 pages of medical literature. Can you imagine if you put your brain to reading a couple of nice stories?
I know.
From time to time.
It would be so great. It would be so great. I've just gotten very fast at reading and retaining. I speed read. I do. And I retain everything I read. Everything. I'm like a walking encyclopedia lately. I don't know what it is. But so I read all this and I was reading about the uses for, you know, all different kinds of like pediatric conditions, right? And the dosage and what the side. I mean, the medicine is so freaking safe. HCQ. The only issues with HCQ are after like a year or two of daily usage.
And that's what you're doing when you're living like in Africa and in India and you're trying to prevent malaria.
Well, no, because even then it kind of loads up in your system. So like HCQ is a compounding medication. So if you take it, that's why like some doctors are saying you need 5 days of one per day and then one every week because it builds in you. So then that one pill a week just kind of keeps you steady on it with the amount of medicine in your system. But like, that's for people like who take it for lupus because they take a 200 or 300 milligrams every single day and it keeps their lupus symptoms at bay. It keeps lupus at bay. It somehow works to do that. Rheumatoid arthritis, lupus. It's off. Guess what those are? Off-label uses for hydroxychloroquine. the same way that people are using ivermectin right now that these idiots are trying to say are completely wrong.
And notice that the only way that they're able to do it, which is another way you can sniff out the scheme here, the only way that they're able to do it is by making these offhand jokes. I mean, and it's not, it's demeaning, it's discouraging, but at the same time, it's rooted in some truth. Yes, ivermectin is available in paste form for horse treatment. Yes, it did start out as a veterinary drug for the first couple of years of its existence. But then they don't go farther than that. They don't talk about human uses and off-label uses and how we see that being a common thing with any kind of medication. There's off-label uses that are discovered all the time, and efficacy is, I mean, it takes time to find these things. And somehow people have found that it is working with this. I mean, there was one point in our development as a species that we discovered a lemon sitting on a tree. Somebody picked a lemon and said, "Is this edible?" There was a time that we did not know if lemons and bananas were edible.
Yeah.
Somebody had to be the first one to taste test that. You know how many people have taste tested poison berries? And then we learned from it. I mean, somehow we found out. I mean, horses drink water. Should we not drink water?
I know.
Because horses drink it. It's the fact that there is no, you would think that in a situation like we're in, that they are so adamant about billing every day and keeping in the forefront of people's minds, that they would want everybody out there scratching and clawing for real great options for people to really kick this thing and leave it behind us. But no, there is only one option, and it has everything to do with the drugs that they prescribe, the schedules that they want you on, and the social conditions that come along with taking that drug, or the social privileges, I should say, that come along with taking or not taking the drugs that they say are the one and only option for bringing an end to this global situation. So it really only goes as far as that. It's once again, just control. That's all it is.
I'm seeing some news coming out. I think it's from Australia at this point. I'm not positive. Breaking: COVID-19 vaccines will not be recommended for healthy children aged 12 to 15. The Joint Committee on Vaccination and Immunization has announced it is widening the limited rollout to the most at-risk children in this age bracket who have underlying health conditions like chronic major heart, lung, kidney, liver, and neurological conditions. Yeah, let's just jack those people who have already underlying conditions up with this, because they don't. I can't.
Yeah.
I think it might be the UK actually, but.
Well, I don't know. We'll see. I mean, they want to. They're made. I would not do anything like that. If I'm going to think like an evil bastard, the only reason why I would do something like this to children that young, knowing as little as I would, or as they say they do, about what can be the long-term effects for something that people of that age and that makeup really are not at a very big risk, then I would have to say, if I'm an evil bastard, I'm thinking, how can I possibly sterilize
all these kids
so that we can destroy the native population of all these European and these Western countries, and then fill in all of the housing, the housing that we have managed to soak up through things like BlackRock and Vanguard, and house it with hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of migrants from the third world until we have complete control over everything, and then wipe everybody out. If I'm going to think like an evil bastard, that's what I would think.
Horrible.
You first need to stop the West from reproducing and from passing along these democratic ideas to their children. That's what I hate that my mind goes to dark places like that.
Well, we have plenty of information to guide us there. I mean, it's not like we're out of our minds thinking about that. Somebody just on Twitter about South Carolina. South Carolina is now experiencing the most daily infections per capita of any state and the most new cases since the pandemic began, and the most hospitalizations since the pandemic began in South Carolina here. And I have so many things to say. So many things to say. There's about 406 cases per day in my county. Looking at their little graph here.
4,000 a day?
No, 400.
Okay.
400 per day. And we are, Frank, the most vaccinated county in all of South Carolina.
Well, you heard that there are European countries that are now banning any kind of in-flights from Israel now. Because Israel is exploding with infection and they're like the most vaccinated country in the world.
Yeah. It's,
and I love all the news reporting on that. Israel's infection rates are exploding despite the high vaccination rate.
Because of the high.
Despite. Nice choosing of your words there.
I mean, and the other thing that you can take out of this is the test positivity is 20%. So of all the people being tested, 20% are positive. And I can tell you that that's likely because people are only going out to get tested now if they're sick and they don't care anymore about getting tested for no reason. 45% of the people in Horry County are vaccinated fully. 54% of people 18 and up and 80% of those 65 and up in Horry County are vaccinated. So it's a 47% increase in average cases per day from 2 weeks ago. At least 1 in 7 residents have been infected, a total of 51,965 reported cases. Right now, Horry County is at an extremely high risk for unvaccinated people.
Right. Well, thank God I slipped in and slipped out.
Yeah, I mean.
And I ate at the Cracker Barrel.
You did all kinds of things.
And we went to Sugar Life for ice cream.
See?
And we went to Sugar Life twice. Tracy, if there is a way to ship ice cream and not have it melt, can you please send me a couple of pints of that coconut Castaway ice cream?
I'll get some dry ice.
Oh my God, was that good. I was getting a scoop of the coconut Castaway and a scoop of the chocolate, and it was so good. Because they have a little bits of like nuts. I don't know if there's pecan in there or something like that. But coconut Castaway ice cream at Sugar Life down there in Myrtle Beach is good.
Coconut
Castaway.
Castaway.
Only if there's an effective way of shipping that.
Whenever I can get out of this hellhole, I will bring it to you.
Yeah, well, Tony, like
listen,
I said.
On top of everything else that I'm doing, again, XLEAR nasal spray 3 times a day, followed by a gargle with Crest mouthwash. 2 sprays in each nostril. Make sure you do it the right way. Do not blow your nose after you put this stuff up there. Otherwise, you're defeating the purpose of how it works.
Okay. I hate that water up my nose feeling.
Listen. It's a little sacrifice that lasts for about a half hour, 40 minutes, and you're through it. And it's really, like, seriously, William wasn't doing his spray right. I watched him yesterday. I'm like, is this how you've been doing it? Is this how you've been doing it? I was like yelling at him. So it's important to do it right. The way that they recommend you do it is to tilt the nozzle towards the outside of your nostril, spray twice, and then do it on the other side, spray twice, and, you know, breathe in as you're spraying. And then after that, you might get some drip down the back of your throat, just perfectly normal. Do the gargle, 30 seconds of gargling 3 times a day. They say 2 on the frontline doctors. I don't care. I do it 3 times anyway. Because the studies that I've read about XLEAR, which is, I believe, pronounced clear. I don't think the X is pronounced the way it is. But I've been reading, the way that it works is the grapeseed oil and the xylitol are what kills the virus. There are studies. There are a lot of studies about this. There's 5 studies that I've read now, plus countless others about nasal irrigation that don't include grapeseed oil. But it seems to be the grapeseed oil. And the website for XLEAR has a big thing. Alert the CDC to start recommending people use this. It's effective. Now, of course, the company wants to sell more nose spray. I get all that. But they did studies in 5 patients infected with COVID and then 5 patients infected with COVID as their control. And in each of them, who even were already infected using this method, not the gargle, just the spray, shortened their duration of illness to just 7 days because the virus replicates in your nasopharynx, your nose and your throat.
Okay.
That's how it gets in. That's where it replicates. It's a respiratory virus.
All right. Sounds good.
Anyway, that's all I got for today. I'm going to go now because I want to check on William and my family.
Yeah. I got to go to my uncle just texted me too. Sounds like the trucks are coming around early, so I'm going to try to get over there too. But I have to bring up some toilet paper first.
Well, good luck and keep us posted on all that. And we will see you guys back here on Monday. You've been listening to the Dark Delay Podcast with...
Barely Made It Out, Frank, Val, and...
Beans. You can hear us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 2:30 Eastern Time on TuneIn, Stitcher, Apple iTunes, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and RadioInfluence.com. Until Monday.
Later.
I'm Jerry Petuck, CEO of Radio Influence. I just wanted to take a quick moment to say thank you for downloading and subscribing to this podcast. There are a lot of people behind the scenes here at Radio Influence that work hard to keep you entertained day in and day out. If you'd like to get involved and advertise on this program, or you have some show ideas that you'd like to see us add to the Radio Influence family, please email us at contact@radioinfluence.com. We all have crazy schedules, so the fact that you took time out of your busy day to let us entertain you for a while means a lot. Without you, the listeners, we wouldn't exist, so thank you again for downloading and subscribing to this show. Don't forget to check out RadioInfluence.com to see what other shows we also have to offer. All of Radio Influence's programming can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and of course, RadioInfluence.com.